class and not to you.
Professor and president of this magnificent Tsinghua University, it is for me a great privilege and a great honor to receive this award as professor honoris causa, which I share with very distinguished persons. Many of them are Nobel Prize. Maybe you will add another Nobel Prize to your collection of honoris causa professors in this university in the future. But the real cause that I'm so moved and touched with this distinction is because it is a vital proof of the friendship between Chile and China. First of all, I'm fully aware that this university is among the top 20 schools in the world, and that's something very hard to achieve. So congratulations to you, President, to your staff, to your students, to all the people that have made this possible. But at the same time, it is among the 10 top engineering schools in the world, and that's even harder to achieve. I know that President Xi Jinping was a student here, and not only him. The former president was also a student in this university. So maybe among the students that are attending this meeting here will be the next president of China. You have a very good perspective. And also since last year, Tsinghua University has a very strong presence in Chile. So we have many, many reasons to be very touched and very motivated by this award that you are giving to me. China is a magnificent country, and you know that better than anybody else. It has a millenary culture. China was the most important power in the world for many, many years, almost 2,000 years. The Western people didn't know that because they didn't know China until Marco Polo arrived here. And now China is coming back to its natural position as one of the two main powers, main country powers in the world. And I think that's good for them, because that will provide a better equilibrium, more harmony in this difficult world that we are living. Last century was a short century. It started not in the year 1900, nothing happened. It started in 1914, when the world, which was in peace, came into one of the worst wars that we have had in the mankind history, the First World War. And it ended in 1989 when the Berlin Wall fell, and together with the Berlin Wall, the Soviet Empire fell. So it was a short century, full of contrast, because we had two world wars, we had a lot of things that we're not proud of. But at the same time, it was a century in which we achieved a tremendous progress in many areas and different fields. We got to the moon, we got to the bottom of the ocean, we discovered the secret of atoms. But at the end of the day, if we take a close look to that century, we hope that this century, which is our century, will be much better than the century that has already ended. China, as I was telling you, has a very long history, more than 5,000 years of significant history and huge contribution to humanity and to mankind. The invention capacity of the Chinese is really, has no limit. How many things have been invented in China? Not only powder, compass, printing, paper, ink, so many things. But it has not ended, because now we're seeing the best part of China. I'm really impressed, not only because of the huge capacity to grow that China has proved during the last 3 or 4 decades, but the capacity to anticipate what is coming. Newton once said that you have to get into the shoulders of giants in order to see what is beyond the horizon, to anticipate, to prepare for that new world that is coming. And we are really impressed by the innovation capacity, the creativity capacity of the Chinese people. Because in a few decades, you have reached the frontiers of knowledge in so many different fields. And people are afraid of what is happening in China because you are doing so well. that some people tend to think that the world would change so dramatically that they are afraid, because normally people are afraid of change because people are afraid of what they don't know. But we know that this country has a very long and very solid history. We know your values. You know your, we know your principles. So we are very happy that China is emerging as a huge world power. Because as I was saying before, it will add more harmony, more equilibrium to this world that is emerging in front of our eyes. The history of China is absolutely fantastic. The Chang Dynasty was when the writing was developed. And then the Shu Dynasty was the time where cities were developed and the monetary system was introduced. It was also the time of the great Confucius. The Qing Dynasty unified the empire and started the construction of the Great Wall that is still there. So the China in terms of history has so much to teach us, and we have so much to learn from your magnificent history and your magnificent country. But as president of Chile, I would like to emphasize that we have had relationship with China for the last 50 years. Chile was the first Latin American country to establish diplomatic relationship with China. And not only diplomatic relations, because they have proved to be friendly relations. Relations that have really united both people, the people of China and the people of Chile. And at the same time, you have been able to modernize your economy and your society in only a few decades. I think that there are very few countries in the world that can tell the same story. How China has changed in the last 4 or 5 decades. Of course, we can thank that to many, many great Chinese like Deng Xiaoping. But after him, the president of China has kept that rule, and they have persisted in trying to get China to where it should always have been, a magnificent country with a great culture, but with a greater future. That's why the Belt and Road Initiative, which is being developed and pushed by President Xi Jinping, is in some way to restart history, because this was the Silk Road that was created by your antecessor thousands of years ago. The idea to unite the world, to connect the world, to get the world smaller in order that people will have more chances to relate to each other is a great idea. And now we have more instruments and more tools than ever to achieve that. And I think that the Belt and Road Initiative is moving in that direction. That's why Chile is so enthusiastic about this initiative. And we are participating and we are collaborating because we think that at the end of the day, all the difference between the different people are less than what we think, because we share the same values. And we want the same thing for our families, for our kids, for our sons, for our grandsons. And that's something will unite the world more than any ideology or more than any political plan. And the Xi administration, China has emerged as a great world power. And at the same time, the foreign policy in many other places in the world have changed so much. You know, the US has changed its foreign policy in the last few years, and that is introducing a lot of uncertainty. Europe is going through a very deep crisis, and it's not only because of the Brexit, so many other things. So to have China moving forward with a very clear north, and given that you invented the compass, you are not deviating from that route. And I think that has been very useful for China, but also it has proved to be a very good news for the whole world. Chile and China, as I said before, have had relationship for a long, long period of time, 50 years. Yesterday we had a chance to meet with President Xi, with the Prime Minister, with the President of the Chinese Congress, and we discussed. Given all that we have achieved in the last 50 years, let's take a look at the future. Let's mount ourselves into the shoulders of giants, as I said before, in order to see what is coming, what is next? How can we change the route that we will be following in order to create a better world for everybody? Chile was, in fact, the first country to establish, in Latin America, to establish diplomatic relations with China, but also the first country to support China in being part of the World Trade Organization, which was a huge change for the whole world. Because when China joined the WTO, the whole structure of international trade changed. And that's why today the Pacific Ocean is the ocean, as it was in the past, the Mediterranean Ocean and then the Atlantic Ocean. Now it is the Pacific Ocean, because China is part of it and is providing all its force to this part of the world. Also, Chile was the first country to sign a free trade agreement with China and to update that trade agreement with China, which we did last year and came into effect in March of this year. Today, China is our largest trading partner by far. But it's not only trade. We are also achieving agreements in order to strengthen not only trade of goods and services, but also investment, movement of people, culture, all kinds of interaction between our two countries. And in fact, when you see that in only 12 years, we have been able to reach a huge trade between the two countries, more than $43 billion. In only a few years, what can we achieve in the future? That's why, for us, this visit, this official visit to China is so important. And also, we are seeing now that China is emerging as a giant in terms of science, technology, innovation in so many fields. Telecommunication, new renewable and clean energies. The same thing in electromobility. The same thing in astronomy. So, you name it, China is really taking the first position in so many areas that we are taking a close look and very interested in what China is doing. This year, we will host the APEC meeting in Chile. And we hope that we will be able to defeat all these protectionist movements that have emerged in the last year and renew our commitment with free trade. With free trade under a rule-based free trade. Because that's the only way to give certainty to everybody, that free trade will work for everybody, not only for a few of us. And so APEC will be a great opportunity to discuss this with President Xi. He said that he will attend the APEC meeting. I hope that President Trump will also attend the APEC meeting, because that will be a great opportunity to solve the problems that have arisen between these two countries, which are really are not benefiting anybody. Are not benefiting China, not benefiting the U.S., and not benefiting the world. And we have to put an end to this kind of tariff war and commercial wars. Also, the main issues of this APEC meeting will be the digital society, a real integration, including everybody, especially small and medium-sized firms, women, to be part of this new society with equal rights, with equal responsibility, and with equal dignity. Also, we are very enthusiastic with this Belt and Road Initiative, as I mentioned before, because it will allow us to strengthen our ties, not only with China, but with the whole Asia-Pacific area, which is the fastest growing area in the world. And therefore, Chile is part of that area. In the past, being part of the Pacific Ocean, and particularly in the case of Chile, in the southern part of the Pacific Ocean, was to be in the end of the world. Today, we are at the center of the world, and we have to take advantage of that. Also, we are working very hard to be part of the RCEP, the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership. That is, by now, the largest economic bloc with 40% of the world GDP. And we hope that someday APEC will become a free trade area. And that will be the largest free trade zone in the world, given what is happening with the WTO, which is going nowhere. We have to try to use other alternatives, but we should never forget that the best way to integrate the world is not by regional agreement, but by a world agreement. Of course, if that world agreement is not working, which is the case of WTO, we have to try other ways. At the same time, we will we will be hosting the COP25 meeting in December of this year in China. And this is something that we have to take care of and pay a lot of attention. One US president once said that this generation, our generation, is the first one that is suffering the consequence of climate change and the change not only in climate, but the rise in temperature. But he added that we are also the last generation that can do something to avoid this climate change to become a tragedy for the whole world. And that's a huge responsibility. I'm absolutely convinced that our children and grandchildren will judge us by the way that we can face this huge challenge of trying to avoid a tragedy in the human race. A few years ago, I read in many important magazines, The Economist, The Time, let's save planet Earth. And I said, that's wrong. Because planet Earth has been able to survive everything. Earthquake, massive floods, asteroids. What is really in danger is not the planet Earth. What is really in danger is the survival of the human race in the planet Earth. 99 out of 100 species that have ever existed have disappeared. And we don't want the human race to join that list. That's why the responsibility that we have, and especially a huge country like China, in do what has to be done in order to avoid having a climate collapse or Holocaust, is something that we cannot avoid and we will have to face. That's why we are very committed with the COP25 that will take place in Chile. And also we would like to add two issues which are very important. To protect our oceans, which are the source of life. Without blue, there is no green. Without green, there is no life. That's why that's the connection between the ocean, the earth, and our life in this planet Earth. By the another thing which is very important is that Chile is a small country. Chile was the poorest Spanish colony in Latin America. The Spanish went there looking for gold and silver. We didn't have either gold or silver. But Chile has become the country with the highest per capita income in Latin America, with the highest human development index in Latin America, with hard work, with good institutions, and with a lot of perseverance to follow the path and not to deviate that from that path. And Chile is part of Latin America. Latin America is a blessed continent. We have had it all. We didn't have the kind of war that almost destroyed Europe and also China during the last century. We have huge territories, generous and abundant natural resources. We don't have racial conflicts or religious conflicts. And still, Latin America is an underdeveloped country. How many countries have been able to cross that desert from underdeveloped to developed in the last 50 or 60 years? Only a few. I can count them with the fingers of one hand. Korea, North Korea, Singapore, and a few others. Well, I think that China and Chile have a huge mission because we are not yet developed countries, not because of the will of God, not because of the fatality of destiny, only because we haven't been able yet to take full advantage of all the opportunities. So when we see how China is growing in the last two, 3 decades, and still growing, and all the projections is that we'll keep growing faster than the rest of the world, we see that it's possible. That's possible. The mission of our generation in Chile is very simple. The mission of our generation is to transform Chile, the poorest Spanish colony in Latin America, in the first Latin American country developed without poverty, during the next decade. So we have only 10 years to achieve that goal. And we can do it. We have proof, as you have proof, that it can be done. But it needs a huge commitment, courage, and perseverance in order to achieve that goal. At the end of the day, each country is what it wants to be. Each country can go so as far as big are their dreams, strong their will. And China has proved that. A few decades ago, China was among the poorest countries in the world, with a per capita income below $300. Look what you've done in a few decades. Imagine what you can do, what you can do in the next decade. That's why I think that we have to take advantage of what is coming in the next world. Because now we are living the fourth technological revolution. We have lived many revolutions. The agrarian revolution, the industrial revolution, the technology revolution. But now we are living the widest, strongest, and most profound revolution that we have ever known, which is this new society of knowledge and information. And it has proved this society to be very generous with those countries that want to take, to embrace it, to take advantage of the opportunity. But it has also proved to be extremely cruel with those countries that really wants to give them back to the revolution. And I think that China has made the decision to be part of this revolution. And not only to be part, to lead this revolution. That's exactly the same kind of commitment that we are making in Chile. For that, we need to do many, many things. The same thing that you have to do in China, to improve the quality of education, to invest much more in science and technology, to promote innovation and entrepreneurship and not to appreciate. And that's something which is very important, because many times the public sector, instead of promoting innovation, creativity, entrepreneurship, imagination, that's exactly the opposite. And that's why I think that there are so many things that are common to China and Chile, because we are facing the same problems. The Industrial Revolution, the climate change, the global warming, the aging of our population are the same problems that we're facing in Chile. But there are two ways to face this problem. One is when you think to stay there and wait to see what will happen. The other way is to anticipate what is happening, to prepare to do that. It's like a huge wave that is coming. You can prepare yourself to surf the wave and use the force of the wave to achieve your goals. Or you can just wait for the wave to come. And if that is the case, I'm sure that it will knock you down and it will not do any good, but on the contrary. And that's a decision that each and every country has to take. Some countries are losing the time, discussing things which are not relevant, and ignoring what is really relevant to become a developed country that is able to give opportunity to each and every citizen to develop their talents and to give guarantees to each and every citizen that they will be able to live a life with dignity. Those are two things which are absolutely crucial. To guarantee everybody a basic floor and to say to everybody that the sky is the limit according to your talents, according to your effort, according to your commitment. And that's something that we have to take into consideration very strongly. That's why for me, President, that is a great honor to receive this professor honoris causa from Tsinghua University. And I'm sure that China and Chile, which has such a huge and successful history of relationship, will be able to draw the most inspiring, beautiful pages together in the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, for your very visionary and inspiring speech. So next.